This week's parsha is Parshas Toldos, and we are going to focus our shiur on chapter 27, the story of the blessings to Yaakov. The pasuk starts that when Yitzchak was old, his eyes became dim from seeing. Rashi explains why his eyes became dimmed. Rashi gives three different interpretations. In the first interpretation, Rashi says is because Esau's wife were sacrificing for idolatry. The smoke was getting to Yitzchak's eyes, and therefore Yitzchak became blind. Mefarshim explained that Rivka did not become blind because Rivka was used to idolatry because she grew up in the house of Lavan. Therefore, the smoke of idolatry did not bother her so much, she was immune to it. But Yitzchak was so holy, then the smoke caused his eyes to become blind. Second interpretation of Rashi is that when Yitzchak was bound, he looked up and he saw the angels crying and the tears fell on his eye. Therefore, it caused his eyes to become weak. Therefore, he became blind. The third interpretation, Rashi says that Hashem made them blind in order for Yaakov to be able to get the brachas, the blessings. The Baal HaTurim gives an interesting interpretation, and the Baal HaTurim says that the reason that Yitzchak became blind is because he accepted bribes from Esav, meaning that in chapter 25, verse number 28, it's written there, Vayav Yitzchak as Esav, that Yitzchak loved Esav kitzayit befiv, because game was in his mouth, meaning that he used to feed him. In other words, Yitzchak accepted bribes from Esav since Esav fed him. That's the reason why Yitzchak loved him. And regarding somebody who accepts bribes, the pasuk in Dvarim, chapter 16, verse number 19, says, Loisat mishpat, do not pervert justice. Loisakir ponim, do not respect someone's presence. Loisikach shoychad, and do not accept bribes. Ki ha-shoychad yi'aver eni chachamim, because bribes blind the eyes of the wise. And since it says here that bribe makes the eyes blind, Yitzchak accepted bribes from Esav, and since he accepted bribes, therefore he became blind. The pasuk continues and says that when Yitzchak was old and he couldn't see very well, he called Esav Benoi HaGadol, his oldest son. Mefarshim asks a question, why is it written here that he called Benoi HaGadol, his oldest son? The simple interpretation that we are going to give, why it's written here, the oldest son, is that since Yitzchak believes that Esav is a righteous person and Esav is the oldest son, therefore Yitzchak wants to make sure that he gets the first blessing. We will try to give later on the interpretation of the Shemen Rosh. The pasuk continues, and he calls him, and Vayomer, he tells him, I have become old, I don't know the day that I'm going to die. Rashi explains that Yitzchak was 123 years old, which is 5 years close to the death of Sarimenu, which is 127 years. Therefore, when you come to 5 years close to the death of one of your parents, you have to worry about your own death. Therefore, Yitzchak decides to bless Esav before he dies. And he tells him, Sono chelecho. Rashi translates, sharpen your gear. And it's important to know that Rashi explains why sharpen the gear. Rashi says, Chadei tzakincha, you should sharpen your knife, Shchoit yofe, in order for you to make a good shchita, a good slaughtering. Why? Shaloi tachilein in nevela, that should not feed me a dead animal. Meaning that make sure to slaughter the animal properly, in order that you should not feed me a dead animal. Then the apostle continues and says, Vetzei asoda, and go out in the field, Vetzuda li tzoida, and you should go hunt me an animal, hunt me game. The first question we are going to ask is, why does Yitzchak have to say, Vetzei asoda, and go out in the field and hunt me an animal? If he would have said, just go hunt me an animal, I know automatically that he has to go out in the field. What else are you going to hunt an animal? You're not going to hunt an animal in the house. Then why does Yitzchak have to say, Vetzei asoda, and go out to the field, Vetzoid li tzoido, and hunt me an animal? And another question that we have is that the word tzoido here, the word game, that you hunt me an animal, is written with a hey in the end. The question is, why is it written with a hey in the end? He could have written v'tzadoli tzait and go hunt me an animal. We don't need to put a hey in the end of the word. Both the Baal Turim and the Dazakenim Baal Tosfos explain that since hey is numerical value 5, and Yitzchok here was teaching Esav the 5 halachas, the 5 laws that you require to know in order to do proper shechita, proper ritual slaughtering. And the 5 halachas are Shehiya, that you're not supposed to pause during the shechita, you're supposed to make 1 cut. Drasa, that we're not supposed to press the knife into the neck. We should make a smooth cut, meaning that the blade itself is cutting, not your force. Chalada, that we should not be poking the knife between the trachea and the esophagus and cutting from that position. Hagrama means cutting beyond, meaning that to either above or below the area of the neck designated for shechita. And ikur, which is tearing, which is slaughtering with a nick knife, which tears the pipes rather than cuts it. These are the 5 halachas of shechita, and according to the Baal Turim and Dazakenim Baal Tosfos, this is what Yitzchak taught Esav at this point. The question that now appears is that if only now Yitzchak is teaching Esav the halachas of shechita, the halachas of ritual slaughtering, how is it possible that Yitzchak ate previously from Esav's slaughtering? As we mentioned, the Baal Turim says that Yitzchak became blind because he accepted the bribes of Esav. What were the bribes of Esav? Is kitzayit befiv, because game was in his mouth, meaning that Yitzchak ate from the food of Esav. If Esav did not know the laws of shechita, the laws of ritual slaughtering, how can Yitzchak eat from the food of Esav? And if Esav knew the laws of ritual slaughtering and he was always doing it properly, why is it necessary now for Yitzchak to teach Esav the laws? And why tell Esav, sharpen your knife? Obviously, all the time, Esav had to sharpen his knife, because otherwise the food would have not been kosher. Then what is the meaning of now teaching him the halachas of slaughtering? The pasuk continues that Sarah Imenu heard what Yitzchak told Esav. Esav goes out to the hunt to get an animal for Yitzchak. Rivka tells Yaakov, please listen to my voice, to everything that I command you. Please go to the flock and take from there 2 young kids, meaning 2 young goats, and I will prepare the food for your father the way that he likes. Rashi asks a question, is it possible that Yitzchak ate 2 young goats for a meal? Why did she have to prepare so much food? Rashi answers from the Pirkei de Rabbi Elezer that day was Passover, Pesach, and one of the animals was Zecher LeKorban Pesach, was a reminder of the sacrificial offering of Pesach, and the other one was a reminder of Chagiga, of the feast offering, brought on Erev Pesach, on the eve of Pesach. And the Mefarshim explained that this is very fitting, because the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Amud Beis, brings down that the Pesach Noilad Yitzchak, that Yitzchak Avinu was born on Pesach, and the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis brings the pasuk in Devarim chapter 31 verse number 2, where Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I am 120 years today." The Gemara says you don't have to write down today. The Gemara says it's teaching you that today he was born and today he's going to die. That Hashem completes the days of the tzaddikim from the day to day, from month to month, as it's written in the pasuk in Shemos chapter 23, verse number 26, as mispar yomecho amale, the number of your days I will complete, meaning that tzaddikim normally die in their birthday, and since Yitzchak was born on Pesach, Yitzchak thought that he is going to die on Pesach, therefore this day was Pesach, therefore Rivka Imenu made 2 sacrifices, one for Korban Pesach and one for Korban Chagiga. Sefer Reach Doidoim on Agoda Shel Pesach asks a question, why still was it required to have 2 sacrifices? Meaning that we understand that normal a Jew would bring two sacrifices. We would bring a Korban Chagiga and also a Korban Pesach, because since the Korban Pesach has to be eaten only when you're satisfied, and since in a Korban Pesach normally we could have up to 100 people signed up for one sacrifice, then in order to become full from the Korban Pesach, you require to eat other sacrifice first, which was the Korban Chagiga. Like that, you completed your eating by the Korban Chagiga. When you ate the morsel of food for the Korban Pesach, that satisfied you, and you fulfilled the mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach ala soiva when you are totally sated. But here, we only have Yitzchak. If you only have Yitzchak, the Gemara writes down in Psachim Daf Ayin Omed Aleph, Bizman Sheba Bemiut, that if you eat the Korban Pesach alone, with few people, meaning that there is enough meat of the Korban Pesach to cause a person to become satisfied from the Korban Pesach itself, Ein Chagiga Ba'imoy. The Chagiga, the feast offering, was not brought with it, because the whole purpose for the feast offering is for you to become almost full from the meat of the feast offering. Then you'd eat the Pesach, you become satisfied from the small morsel of Pesach, from the kazais of the Korban Pesach. But if you ate the Korban Pesach by yourself, then you had enough food, you didn't have to bring a Korban Chagiga, and you didn't bring a Korban Chagiga. Then the question is, why did Sarai Menu make two sacrifices? Here seems to be that Yitzchak was alone. If Yitzchak was alone, then he could become full from the Korban Pesach. You don't need a Korban Chagiga. And furthermore, it seems that to Esav, Yitzchak only asked, V'tzado li tzaido, go bring me one animal, hunt me one animal. Then why from Esav Yitzchak requested only one animal? And why did Sarai Menu see fit to bring two animals, the Korban Chagiga and the Korban Pesach? Rav Yaakov Meislish Shlita answers that there were a lot of converts from the days of Avraham Avinu that were still with Yitzchak. During all the years that Esav brought food for Yitzchak, those converts would not share in that food, because those converts knew the truth that Esav is an evil person, and they didn't want to share in the animal brought by that evil person. Yitzchak, in turn, did not know that Esav was evil. He held Esav for a righteous person, and Yitzchak realized that nobody wants to share that food, because they're not interested in eating that food. Therefore, Yitzchak knew that he alone is going to eat that food. He asks Esav only to bring me one animal, only to bring me the Korban Pesach, because since I'm the only one that is going to eat the food, and when I alone eat the food, I'm not required to bring a Korban Chagiga, because there's plenty to become satisfied from the one animal from the Korban Pesach. But Rivka knew that if she makes a meal, then those converts will come to share, because they know if Rivka prepares it and Rivka is a good person, then they all will come to share. Then if she only brings a Korban Pesach, that won't be enough, because she's required to share this Korban Pesach with all the converts that were there. Therefore, Rivka Menu had to bring also a Korban Chagiga, because when you don't have enough meat from the Korban Pesach to become satisfied, then you're required to bring a Korban Chagiga, a feast offering, to supplement that Korban Pesach. Therefore, Rivka Imenu told Yaakov to get two animals, because she knew that when she prepares the food, those converts will come and share, and if they come and share, it's not going to be enough from the Korban Pesach. You're required to have two animals in order to fulfill the mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach when you say it. Going back to the story, the pasuk continues and says that Yaakov objected and said to his mother that Esav is a hairy man and Yaakov is a smooth-skinned man, and if the father is going to touch him, then it will bring a curse and not a blessing, meaning Yitzchak is going to curse Yaakov for trying to cheat him and not give a blessing to Yaakov. The Chasam Sofer asks, what was Yaakov thinking? If Yaakov is not going to do anything, then automatically Esav is going to get the blessing. That is a greater wrong. So it is worth to have the risk of him getting the blessing rather than Esav, even though maybe it's not going to come out because there was no choice. If he doesn't intervene and doesn't do anything, then automatically Esav gets the blessing. The Chasam Sofer answers that since there is a halacha that mumar l'avodah zarah, that if somebody is a heretic by committing avodah zarah, then we're not allowed to eat from his shechita, from his slaughtering, even if he slaughters properly, but the fact that he is a heretic, that he believes in idolatry, then you're not allowed to eat from that slaughtering. And since he knew that behemtom shel tzadikim ein hakadosh baruch hu mevit hakol al yadam, that Hashem doesn't allow even the animals of righteous people to eat bad things. For sure, Hashem doesn't allow the righteous people themselves to eat bad things. Then Yaakov knew that it's impossible that Yitzchak will eat from Esav's food. Then since the condition for him giving the blessing was only if he eats from the food, then Yaakov was not worried that Yitzchak is going to give the blessing for Esav, because as Yitzchak said, that give me food in order for me to bless you. And since Hashem would definitely prevent Yitzchak from eating the food of Esav, then Yaakov was not worried about Yitzchak eating the food and blessing Esav. Therefore, Yaakov was trying to get away and not do what his mother tells him. Again, Yaakov knew that Yitzchak is not going to eat the food of Esav, because Hashem doesn't allow a tzaddik to eat something wrong. And if Esav, which was a mumar l'avodah zarah, which always committed idolatry, would slaughter this animal, then it is not kosher. If it's not kosher, obviously Yitzchak is not going to eat. If Yitzchak doesn't eat, obviously Yitzchak is not going to bless him. Therefore, Yaakov was not worried. But the mother nonetheless insisted that Yaakov goes and brings the food to Yitzchak. The question on this Chasam Sofer is that it seems to imply that Yitzchak never ate the food of Esav, and yet the Torah seems to say just the opposite. The Torah says that Yitzchak loved Esav ki tzayit befiv, because game was in his mouth, which means that Yitzchak used to be fed by Esav. Then we see clearly that the idea of behemtom shel tzadikim ein hakadosh baruch hu mevit hakol al yadam, that Hashem doesn't allow a tzadik to eat something wrong, does not apply, because all the years Yitzchak seemed to eat from the food of Esav. Then if that is true, why did Yaakov rely now on this rule of Hashem not allowing a tzaddik to eat bad food? We see that Hashem did allow technically a tzaddik to eat bad food. The pasuk continues that Rivka Imenu, in response to what Yaakov said, said, "Don't worry about you getting a curse. Olai kelilas chobni, on me is your curse," meaning that if Yitzchak is going to give a curse, the curse will fall on me. And then Yaakov goes ahead and does what Rivka asks. The question is that what kind of son would allow this to happen to his mother? If he's really worried about getting cursed by the father, why would he continue and do what his mother tells him if it's possible that the mother is going to be cursed? And the Chiddush Urim asks a stronger question. What kind of idea is that, Olai kelilas chobni, that you could transfer the curse that Yitzchak is going to give from Yaakov to Rivka? How does that work? If Reuven is cursed, then how can Reuven say, I'm going to take my curse and pass it on to Shimon? That doesn't work. Reuven is still cursed. So how good is it that Rivka Imenu says, Olai kelilas chobni, that on me is your curse, if that transfer doesn't work? And Yaakov knew that you cannot transfer a curse. Then why did Yaakov agree to go after she says, Olai kelilas chobni? The Vilna Gaon gives a beautiful interpretation. He says that Olai doesn't mean on me is going to call your curse. Olai is the acronym Esav, Lavan, and Yosef, meaning that the curse of Yaakov is not going to be Yitzchak, it's going to be Esav, it's going to be to have to deal with Lavan, and it's going to be the pain of Yosef. That's what Rivka answered, that you worried about Yitzchak cursing you, don't worry. Olai, Esav, Lavan, and Yosef, that's kilulas chobni, that is going to be your trouble. And that's how the Vilna Gaon explains what's written on chapter 42. Verse number 36, where the brothers try to get Binyamin down to Egypt Yaakovinu says that Oisisikalton, you have made me bereaved. Yosef enenu. Yosef is not here. V'Shimon enenu. And Shimon is not here. V'ez Binyamin tikachu. Now you want to take Binyamin. Olai hayu kulono. Upon me all have fallen. Meaning all my troubles have fallen. And the question is, what does it mean to say all my troubles have fallen? People always have other troubles. But according to the Vilna Gaon, the word olai means Esav, Lavan, and Yosef. And Yaakov was saying, olai hayu kulono. That all the troubles of the word Olai already came true, then why you want to take Binyamin? Meaning prophetically, I was told that I'm going to have only three troubles, Esav, Lavan, and Yosef, and that already came true, then why you want to take Binyamin? Then according to this Vilna Gaon, Yaakov had no trouble going and do his mother bidding, and not because Yaakov was going to transfer that curse to his mother, but only because Yaakov was assured by his mother that Yitzchak is not going to curse him. Yaakov knew that his mother is a prophet, that she knows what is going to happen, and since she tells him that Olai kilas chobni, that your troubles are only going to be Esav, Lavan, and Yosef, then Yaakov knew that Yitzchak is not going to curse. Therefore, Yaakov went ahead to bring the food for Yitzchak. The Chiddush Orim gives a different interpretation on what is meant by Olai Kilulas Chobni, and he says that Olai Kilulas Chobni, that normally is translated on me should be your curse, that is not the proper translation. He says that Olai means on me, meaning because of me, Kilulas Chobni is worth for you to risk a curse, meaning that we know that Esav was very meticulous in the mitzvah of kibudav, honoring your father. So much so that the Mesh Rabbi in Parsha Samachay says, Omar Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Kol yomai oisi meshamesh ezavi, that all my life I served my father, v'lo yishimashti oisoi, I did not serve him, echot mimayo, 100 sheshimesh Esav ezaviv, that Esav served his father. Meaning that Esav was very meticulous in the mitzvah of kibudav, that he did it even with Mesiras Nefesh, even if self-sacrifice. That if he had to do something else, he would stop everything to do the mitzvah of Kibbut Av, honoring your father. Rivka Imenu wanted to counteract that Mesiras Nefesh of Esav for Kibbut Av. Therefore, she tells Yaakov that it's worth the risk of a curse in order for you to do Kibbut Em, honoring your mother. I am telling you to go, Olai, because of me, on me, Kilas Chobni, it's worth for you to take the risk. Like that, you'll go into your father with the Mesiras Nefesh of Kibud M. And we know, Shlicha Mitzvah Einu Nizokim, that if you are a messenger from Mitzvah, you are not going to be harmed. Therefore, you could go ahead and go and have the Mesiras Nefesh, because that Mesiras Nefesh for doing Kibud M, that you are honoring me, because I told you to go, even though you're afraid that you may get cursed, nonetheless, you're still going, that self-sacrifice will help you that you won't be cursed. So that's how the Chiddush Orim explains that Olai doesn't mean on Rivka is going to be the klala, means Olai, on my commandment, is worth kilulas chobni, that you should get a curse. Meaning risking a curse for kibud em is good, and that will counteract the Mesiras Nefesh that Esav has for Kibbut Av. The pasuk continues that Yaakov went to the flock and brought the sheep, and Rivka prepared the food for Yitzchak. Then on pasuk number 15 it's written, Vatikach Rivka, that Rivka took as big the Esav, the clothing of Esav, Bno HaGadol, her oldest son, Achamudois, that were lusted, that were desired, Asher ita babais, that were with her in the house, Vatal Beshes Yaakov Bno HaKotin, and she dressed up Yaakov, her younger son. All the Meforshim are bothered to what is meant to say Bno HaGadol, her oldest son, and why it's written again Bno HaKotin, her youngest son. We know that Esav is the oldest and Yaakov is the youngest, so what's the point of writing it again that Esav the oldest son, and Yaakov, the youngest son. The Chasam Sofer says that since it's written the prophecy that Rivka got from Shem ben Noach in the beginning of the Parsha, on chapter 25, verse number 23, Verav Yavoy Tzoyer, that the oldest will serve the youngest, then Rivka was very careful always to call Esav the oldest and Yaakov the youngest, in order for the prophecy Verav Yavoy Tzoir to take effect. The Targum Yonis ben Uziel explains what is Chamudois, what is desirable, that she chamda, that he desired it from Nimrod, meaning that he stole it from Nimrod, that he killed Nimrod for those clothing. Those were the original clothing of Adam HaRishon. After Adam HaRishon sinned, Hashem gave him kasnas, or clothing of skin, and those were special clothing that whenever animal got close to it, it would bow. Nimrod eventually got this clothing, and he made himself a god by showing that even the animals bow down to him. As it's written on chapter 10, verse number 9, Hu ayo gibor tzad lifnei Hashem, that Nimrod was a mighty hunter lifnei Hashem, al ken yomar. Therefore it was said, ken Nimrod, like Nimrod gibor tzad, that was a mighty hunter lifnei Hashem. So we see that with this clothing was easy to become a hunter. Esav eventually took this clothing and he kept it in the mother's house. And those are the clothing that she dressed Yaakov with. Mefarshim asked that if the animals used to come to bow to this clothing, then they would make it easy for Esav to hunt. Then why didn't Esav use this clothing in order to catch an animal for Yitzchak? Here Yitzchak asks him to go hunt an animal to bring him to eat, and this clothing makes it so easy to hunt an animal, because the animal, instead of running away, come close and bow. Then why didn't Esav use this clothing in order to catch an animal for Yitzchak? Mefarshim answer that since Esav was very meticulous in the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av, he wanted to honor his father so much, he didn't want to do it via a shortcut. He wanted to use his own effort in order to serve his father. He didn't want to use a shortcut as this clothing in order to catch an animal quickly. He wanted to use his own efforts in order to serve his father. Other answer that Mefarshim give is that Esav was afraid that if he is going to ask this clothing from Rivka, Rivka is going to ask why you need this clothing for. And then Esav is going to tell her that Yitzchak asked him to hunt in order that he be blessed. Then he was afraid that Yaakov would have found out and Yaakov would have taken his place. Therefore, Esav would rather go and work harder to go hunt for Yitzchak rather than ask Rivka for the clothing and risk Rivka finding out that Esav is about to get a blessing, and then Yaakov would interfere in blocking Esav getting the blessing. That's why Esav never asked for those clothing. The Yerushalmi Megillah Perik Aleph Halacha Yud Aleph gives a different interpretation on the word Chamudo is desirable. He says, what does it mean desirable? Means Shayo Meshamesh Bohem Bekuna Gedoyla, those are clothing that a person would use for the high priesthood. There were special high priesthood clothing that Esav had in the house, and those are the clothing that Rivka gave to Yaakov. We'll have to understand what does the Yerushalmi mean. The pasuk continues that Yaakov Avinu came in to Yitzchak, and in pasuk number 20, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Yitzchak Avnoi." Yitzchak said to his son, "Mazem yarto limtzabni. How is it that you were so quick to find my son?" Vayomer, and Yaakov says, "Kikra Hashem Elokecha lefonai," that Hashem, your God, arranged it for me, meaning that I was able to catch so quickly because Hashem arranged it that I should catch it so quickly. Sefer Shemen Roish is bothered by the whole question. Yitzchak sends Esav to go hunt an animal. When you go outside to hunt an animal, it happens that you catch the animal very quickly. Sometimes it takes longer, but also chances are that you're able to catch it very quickly. Then why was Yitzchak so surprised that the person he thought was Esav came back so quickly if an animal? The pasuk continues and says that Yitzchak started doubting Yaakov. Eventually, he got convinced. Then on pasuk number 25, it says, "Vayagash lo," that Yaakov came close, "Vayoichal," and Yitzchak ate, "Vayoav elo yain," and he brought wine, "Vayesh," then the pasuk continues, that Yitzchok says, get close to me, let me kiss you. Then Pasuk number 27 says, Va'igash va'yishakloi, that he got close and he kissed him. Va'yorach ezreach begodov, and he smelled the smell of the clothing. Va'yavarcheyu, and he blessed him. Va'yoymer, he says, Rei, see, reach bni, the smell of my son, is kereach sode, is like the smell of the field. Arshe beirch Hashem, that Hashem blessed. And then eventually, Yitzchok blesses Yaakov. We have to understand what does it mean, kereach sode, arshe beirch Hashem, as the field that Hashem blessed. Which field are we referring to? Rashi says that Reach Gan Eden went into the clothing, but will give a different answer. After Yaakov received the bracha, the pasuk continues and says that Esav came in, and as soon as Esav came in, pasuk number 33 says, "Vayechad Yitzchok harado gadol meod." Yitzchok became very scared. Vayomer, says, "Mi eifo hu atzot zayit? Who is the one that hunted Vayoveli and brought to me Vayochal mikoil and I ate from everything? Beterem tovoy, before you came, Vavorcheo, and I blessed him." Gam Baruchia, so he should be blessed. We have to understand what caused Yitzchok to tremble so much. Rashi gives one interpretation that he saw Pesach Gehenem Pesucha, that he saw as soon as Esav came in, the door of Gehenem underneath it. All of a sudden he realized that Esav wasn't such a righteous person as he thought, but will give soon a different interpretation. Then Esav hears the words of his father and he cries bitterly and he says that please bless me also. Pasuk number 35, he says, Ba'achicha b'mirma, that your brother came with wisdom, Va'ikach b'rchosecha, and he took your blessing. The question is, what does it mean with wisdom? What wisdom was it that he took the blessing? He just seems to trick them. What wisdom was involved? Then in Pasuk number 36, Esav says, Achi Koroshmo Yaakov, is this the reason why his name is called Yaakov? Vayakveinu Zepamayim, and he outwitted me twice, when twice? First, as Bechorosi Lokach, he took the right of the firstborn. Vina'ato Lokach Birchosi, and now he took my blessing. Vayoymar, and Esav says, Haloyo tzaltoli bracha, didn't you save me a bracha? The question is, why would Esav think that Yitzchok saved them a bracha? The simple answer is that since Esav knew that Yitzchok knew that Yaakov is a righteous person, Esav assumed that he is going to bless Esav first and then he's going to bless Yaakov. And now that Yaakov took his blessing, Esav wanted the blessing that is going to come to Yaakov, because we see that Yaakov, when he came to bless his children, he didn't only bless the firstborn child, he blessed all the children. Therefore, here too, Esav assumed that Yitzchok is going to give him one blessing. He was going to have the first blessing, the better blessing, and Yaakov was going to get the second blessing. And now that Yaakov took his blessing, Esav said, that didn't you save me a bracha? But we're going to give another interpretation. Why did Esav think that he's deserving of giving a bracha? What special thing did Esav do that he's deserving a bracha? And also the Chasam Sofer asks a question, that here it's written, Vayakveni Zepamayim, that he cheated me, outwitted me twice. It implies that Esav wasn't happy about the sale of the firstbornship of the Bechoira, but we never see that Esav is complaining or trying to undo the sale of the firstbornship. Why all of a sudden he's complaining about that sale? Sefer Shemen Roish introduces an idea, and with that idea and a few Chasam Sofers, he answers all our questions. First, he introduces the idea that it's written in the Gemara that when there was a Mishkan, and the Mishkan did not have the Aron Kodesh in it, the Holy Ark, then we were allowed to bring sacrifices on Bamos, on private altars. But there was a difference between the Bamos, the private altars, or the Bamos Tzibur, or the public altar that was in the Mishkan, that was in the main place, that certain sacrifices cannot be brought in the private altar, they have to be brought in the public altars. Regular shlomim, regular peace offering, could be brought in the private altars, but Pesach could only be brought in the public altar. And he also says that could be all the years that Esav hunted for Yitzchak, Esav actually did not slaughter the animal, meaning that Esav would hunt and he would give for Yaakov to prepare the animal, and Yaakov would gladly prepare the animal for his father, like that his father did not eat anything improper. Because the pasuk says that Yitzchak loved Esav because he hunted to his mouth, which means he brought the food to the house. But preparing the food, slaughtering, it was done by Yaakov. Also, Rashi brings down by the pasuk, chapter 25, verse number 32, when Esav sold the Bechoira, the right of the firstborn, he says, "Ine anochi olech lamus," that I'm going to die. Rashi says that since the sacrificial service was performed by the firstborn in those days, therefore Yaakov desired it, and Esav decided that since eventually he's going to leave the firstborn and go to the Levites, then why does he need to bother with the whole thing? Or Rashi says that there is a lot of prohibitions involved in becoming a firstborn and serving, because you can't serve drunk and with long hair. Therefore, Esav said that I'm going to die anyways, why do I need the Bechoira? But nonetheless, we see from here that the service, sacrificial service for Hashem, was done by the Bechor, by the firstborn. Yitzchak thinks that Esav is the firstborn. Therefore, Yitzchak calls Esav and tells him that I need you to slaughter me an animal because I need to bring a Korban Pesach. And Korban Pesach requires to have a Kohen to slaughter. And therefore, according to the Balaturim and according to Dazakei Balatoises, right here, Yitzchak has to teach him the halachas of Shechita, the halachas of ritual slaughtering. Because until now, Esav did not slaughter for Yitzchak because Yaakov prepared the food for Yitzchak. But now that Yitzchak has to bring a Korban Pesach, and the Korban Pesach has to be specifically by the firstborn, and Yitzchak thinks that Esav is the firstborn, therefore Esav is required to know the halachas of ritual slaughtering. Therefore Yitzchak is teaching Esav the halachas of ritual slaughtering. Even if you hold that until now Esav slaughtered properly and Esav did prepare the food for Yitzchak, Sefer Shemeroy says that the hay of Tzaida could be that Yitzchak was teaching him the specific halachas that apply to a bamas tzibur, to a public altar. There are 5 halachas that apply to a public altar, and these halachas are that you're required to have a kohen, you're required to have big de kehuna, clothing of kohens, you're required to have klisharis, with holy vessels, you're required to wash your hand and feet, and you're required to do the avoid the standing. There are 5 things that are special on a public altar, which are not applicable to a private altar, because a private altar, anybody could bring the sacrifice. But here you require to have the priest, but before they were actually priests, the firstborn were considered the priest. Therefore, says Sefer Shemeroish, where it's written, Tzoida, go hunt me an animal, it's meant with the hay, because Yitzchak taught Esav the 5 halachas of the public offering. And Sefer Shemeroish continues and says that when the pasuk says, Sana kelecho, sharpen your gear, it may not be the translation, sharpen your gear, since the Bamas Sibur is required to have clay shares, holy vessels. Maybe Sana kelecho means that you should raise up your gear, make them holy, because you require to make now those vessels holy in order to bring a sacrifice in the Bamas Sibur, in the public altar. Furthermore, he explains that the Bamas Sibur was Har Moriah, Mount Moriah, where he was previously put as a sacrifice. And the Gemara writes down in Psachim Daf Peches Amad Aleph 88a that Har Moriah was called by Avram Har, because it's written in Bereshit chapter 22, verse number 14, Bahar Hashem Yeroe, in the mountain Hashem is going to be seen. Then we see that Avraham Avinu called the place of the Beis Hamikdash Har, and Yitzchak called the place Sodeh, a field, because it's written in chapter 24, verse number 63, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuch Basodeh, that Yitzchak went to pray in the field, and that is meant in Har HaMoriah, in the place of the Beis Hamikdash, the Yaakov Korobais, and Yaakov called the place Bais, because it's written in chapter 35, verse number 7, Vayikra Lamokon, Kel Beis Kel, that Yaakov Avinu called the place Beis, the house of Kel. So we see that Yaakov Avinu called Har HaMoriah Bais, a house. Nonetheless, we see that Yitzchak Avinu called the place of the Beis Hamikdash Sodeh, and therefore here he's telling Esav, Vetzei HaSodeh, go to the field, the famous field, the Heyayadiyah, which means the Beis Hamikdash, Vetzadu Litzayda, and go hunt me a hunt and bring it on top of the altar, because the Hey signifies the five laws of the Bamas Tzibur, which the Bamas Tzibur, the public altar, was at this point in Mount Moriah, because that was the last place where he was sacrificed. And we know that Yitzchak lived in Be'er Sheva, and from Be'er Sheva until Har HaMoriah, there is more than a few days. Therefore, when Yaakov Avinu came back so quickly, Yitzchak is wondering, why are you here so quickly? Meaning that since I told you to go to Har HaMoriah, to the Bamas Tzibur, and bring there the sacrifice, how are you able to come so quickly back? Where Yaakov answers, Ki Yikra Hashem Lefonai, that Hashem made it happen in front of me, meaning that Hashem made a miracle, and I was able to walk very quickly to Har HaMoriah, had Kfitza Saderech, I had the road jump in front of me, that the place came up very quickly, and therefore I'm able to be here in such short time. And this idea that Har HaMoriah is called Sodeh also explains why after Yitzchak smelled the clothes of Yaakov, he says, Reach Bani, the smell of my son, Kereach HaSodeh, is like the smell of the field, Asher Berach Hashem, that Hashem blessed, which means like the Beis Hamikdash, because Yitzchak was once there, and Yitzchak smelled the smell of the place, and Yaakov now smelled in the same way as the place smelled. And according to this, we could explain the idea of the Chasam Sofer differently, meaning that the Chasam Sofer asks a question of why wouldn't Yaakov take the risk of stopping Esav from getting the curse from the chance that Yitzchak will touch him. And the Chasam Sofer asks that if Yaakov doesn't go in, then a greater wrong would happen, that Esav is going to get the blessing. Isn't it better to take the chance that maybe the father won't touch him and nothing will happen, than for sure lose the blessing? And the Chasam Sofer answers that Yaakov wasn't worried that Esav is going to get the blessings, because Behentom Shel Tzadikim, because if Hashem protects the animals of the righteous, for sure He will protect the righteous themselves. And we ask, if that is true, why didn't Hashem protect Yitzchak until now, that he shouldn't eat from the food of Esav? And the answer is that until now, Yaakov is the one that prepared the food, therefore everything was okay. But now Esav is going to bring the Passover sacrifice, and Esav either is a mumer l'avodazara, a heretic that commits idolatry, or in fact he is not the Bechor, he is not the firstborn, and he invalidates the service, then Yaakov wasn't worried that Esav is going to get the blessing, because since Esav did improper shchita, either because he is not the rightful person, or because he is not the firstborn, then Yitzchak won't eat. If Yitzchak won't eat, then he won't bless Esav. Therefore, Yaakov had no worries, and he was only worried that the father will touch him and they will end up cursing him. And according to this, we could understand the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi explains that when Rivka dressed Yaakov with the clothes of Esav, her oldest son, Achamudois, they are desirable. The Yerushalmi explains, what does it mean desirable? These are the clothing that he used for Kahuna Gedoyla, for the high priesthood, meaning that when you do the service to Hashem, that is when you use this clothing. And the Torah Tumim explains, how did Yerushalmi get this idea? Because since it's written here the clothes of Esav, Beno HaGadol, her oldest son. Why you have to tell me her oldest son? Therefore, the Yerushalmi deduces that this is the clothes used by the Bechor, by the firstborn, to bring sacrifices, which means these are the priestly clothing. And specifically, since Yaakov is now bringing the Korban Pesach, and Yaakov is the Bechor, Yaakov gets to wear the priestly clothing to bring the Korban Pesach in order to make it valid. Because as we mentioned, one of the five things that you require to have in a public altar is priestly clothing. Therefore, Rivka made sure that Yaakov is wearing this priestly clothing. And could be the reason that Esav didn't come to get those priestly clothing to bring the sacrifice that Yitzchok asked is because Esav knew the truth that he is not the firstborn and knew that it won't help the priestly clothing. Or Esav did not want Rivka to know that he is bringing the sacrifice in order for Yaakov not to steal the brachas. And therefore he says this is the reason for Yitzchok to tremble. When Yitzchok finds out that Esav is not the one who brought the sacrifice, Yitzchok is upset. How could it be that it tasted so good and he was able to eat and Hashem did not protect him if in truth Esav, which was the firstborn, did not bring the sacrifice? Meaning, since the sacrifice has to be brought by the firstborn and Esav did not bring the sacrifice, then obviously this sacrifice was not brought by a firstborn. Then obviously Yitzchok ate something wrong. And if Hashem allowed Yitzchok to eat something wrong, obviously Yitzchok is not a tzaddik. Therefore Yitzchok trembled that Hashem doesn't hold him to be a righteous person. Because if he would be a righteous person, he would not eat from that sacrifice that was technically not good. Esav asks Yitzchok to bless him anyways. Yitzchok says, I can't bless you because your brother came with smarts and he took your blessing. What does it mean? That since this was a Pesach and we have a rule that Emaftirim achara Pesach afikoyman, that after the Pesach we cannot eat anything, therefore I cannot eat from your food, and if I can't eat from your food, I can't bless you. Your brother was very smart to make sure that I don't bless you, because now I can't eat from your food. Esav becomes very upset and he says, that is that the reason that his name is Yaakov, that he fooled me twice? He took my bechoira, my right of firstborn, and now he took my blessing. The Chasam Sofer explains that here Esav is not arguing against the firstbornship, he's actually making a statement against the firstbornship, meaning that Yaakov, knowing my devotion to Kibud Av for honoring my father, knows that now I can't argue against the firstbornship. Meaning, until now I was always arguing that Yaakov bought my firstbornship not in the proper way. But now that you ate from Yaakov's sacrifice, and Yaakov could only bring your sacrifice if he is the firstborn, comes out that if I argue now against Yaakov's firstbornship, then retroactively you ate something improper. Therefore, Esav says, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of honoring my father, I will give up on the firstbornship, and automatically I will give up on that bracha, because I don't want you, Yitzchak, to have eaten something improper. Because if I say that Yaakov is not the firstborn and you ate the sacrifice from Yaakov, then you ate something improper. The Chasam Sofer says that Esav, by being such a devoted son, by doing the mitzvah of honoring his father so meticulously, was willing to give up the right of the firstbornship in order for Yitzchak not to be considered retroactively a sinner. Therefore, Esav tells Yitzchak that I deserve a bracha, meaning I'm giving up so much that I deserve a blessing. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, Yitzchak gives him a blessing. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should get all the blessings that is written in this week's Parsha. And also, we should make sure that we do a call Yaakov, that we use the voice of Yaakov, that we pray to Hashem and study Torah, like that will merit to have Moshiach come. The Beis HaMikdash rebuild, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.